The season's second Carte Blanche concert, curated by violinist Daniel Hope, focuses on the great virtuoso Joseph Joachim. Joachim lived from 1831 to 1907 and ranked among the elite violinists of the Romantic generation. Among other important associations, he was an especially close friend and collaborator of Johannes Brahms. As we've discussed on some of this season's previous audio notes, Joachim brokered Brahms' introduction to Robert and Clara Schumann, which had enormous consequences for Brahms' life and career. More than that, Joachim was one of Brahms' few trusted confidants and an important mentor to the composer in his own right.
Joachim had a huge influence on Brahms.
Daniel Hope.
Not just the introduction to the Schumann family, which really did change the course of music history forever, but his input as far as the G major violin sonata, for example, or the violin concerto. If you look at the correspondence, you look at the scores that Joachim marked an enormous amount of suggestions, some of which Brahms took on board, not all of them, but some of them, which for Brahms was quite something, because he wasn't somebody that reacted well to criticisms or to even to suggestions. But I think it shows the mark of respect that he had for the Joachim, that he did take on so much of it. And then the first performance of Brahms concerto with Joachim performing himself, which was not a success, at least not a great success, and was never played that much within either musician's lifetime, but still a very important thing for Brahms. And then the sort of cooling off of relations, which came about when Joachim wanted to divorce his wife and Brahms had written a letter of support, a letter of comfort to her, which was a private letter, which was then read out in the court proceedings. And Joachim felt betrayed by Brahms, and as a result there was a cooling off for many, many, many years. But Brahms always tried to repair the damage by rewriting the lullaby, Viola Mezzo Piano, which was also originally dedicated to Joachim. But even that didn't work. It was really only the Brahms double concerto that got the two men back together towards the end of their lives. So, I mean, Joachim was really a driving force within Brahms' life and somebody to whom Brahms looked up to, I think, enormously. And as a result, the two are inextricably linked with one another.
Brahms' G major violin sonata, which the composer dedicated to Joachim, closes the first half of Daniel's Carte Blanche program.
It's really a celebration of Joachim and a look at the composers with whom he was closely associated, the composers who wrote for him and who inspired him, and also a look at him as a composer. And each of those composers on the program had a very special affiliation. I mean, Dvorak, who wrote the violin concerto for Joachim, was somebody that was supported very much by Joachim. He helped him find publishers, he helped him financially, he really nurtured and believed very much in his talent. So it was important for me to have Dvorak on that program.
Antonín Dvořák's Opus 75 romantic pieces opened the program, followed by a romance for violin and piano by one of both Brahms and Joachim's closest friends, Clara Schumann.
It's a beautiful, it's one of my favorite pieces actually, and I think it's a real little gem. And Clara Schumann first encountered Joachim playing in Leipzig when he was only around 16 or 17, and she wasn't, to start off with, very impressed. She thought he had a religious technique, but she wasn't sure he really had great musicality, and that's all changed when he came a few years later, still as a relatively young man, to Düsseldorf and performed the Beethoven concerto, and both her and Robert Schumann were completely and utterly mesmerized by his performance. And the two struck up a friendship and went on tour together, playing duo programs, very interesting programs. Often we start with a Bach solo sonata, then Klaus Schumann will play something on our own, then the two will play a Beethoven sonata. And for these soirees, and also soirees at home, Klaus Schumann wrote these romances, which also had a great success in the day, including King George III of Hanover. It was one of his favorite pieces, and apparently he went into ecstasy whenever he heard that romance. So, I thought it was a natural to include it.
The second half of the program begins with violin transcriptions of two songs by Felix Mendelssohn, Hexenlied and Auf den Flügeln des Gesanges, or On Wings of Song.
You know, Mendelssohn was Joachim's mentor. At the age of 12, Joachim performed the Beethoven violin concerto in London, 1844, and rediscovered the piece for the world. It had been a failure, and he had taken the young boy Joachim on board and nurtured him and helped him and introduced him to very important musical circles, and then taken him to London for this amazing concert. And again, that was a real momentous occasion because the world discovered what a masterpiece the Beethoven concerto was thanks to Joachim's performance of it, even as a 12-year-old. So I wanted to have Mendelssohn in some form in the program. So I put in two songs. One, which is an early one called Hexenlied. The other one is On Wings of Song. The earlier song is very much kind of Schubertian, early look at the sort of capricious talent of Mendelssohn. The On Wings of Song is a much more traditional but beautiful homage to Romanticism. So again, I thought it fitted into the program, and also was trying to demonstrate the versatility of someone like Joachim.
The program also includes a nod to Joseph Joachim, the composer, as Daniel offers Joachim's Romance Opus 2, Number 1.
This is a really interesting piece because it was, I think it's Opus 2, certainly a very early piece, and it was written after Mendelssohn had died prematurely. Joachim was really sort of thrown into a fit of depression and was moping around Leipzig, not really knowing what to do. And he had this invitation to go and visit Liszt in Weimar, and he heard all about this. But he was rather skeptical, and he went to see Liszt, who asked him to bring a copy of the manuscript of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, which he did, and apparently Liszt sat down and played the entire thing from sight, all the orchestral parts and everything, and Joachim was absolutely flabbergasted. And there then began a very strong musical relationship between the two. He became the concertmaster in Liszt's orchestra, and for the soirees that they had in Weimar, he was encouraged by Liszt to write music. And he wrote this romance, which, as concertmaster of the orchestra, he would often stand up and perform it with piano before the orchestra concert started. And it ingratiated him with a number of important figures of the day. Also, a lot of the dukes and duchesses who took a great shine to this piece. So more often than not, it became a kind of a standard introduction to the concerts with Joachim playing this romance. It's a very beautiful, it's quite a simple piece, but has a very sort of melancholy and emotional expression to it. And there's something of that nostalgic quality in this quite short but very beautiful romance. As far as Brahms is concerned, the introduction of Brahms to the Schumann family was something that really changed the course of music history. And it was facilitated through Joachim. Joachim was enthralled by Brahms and took him to the Schumann household. And as a result, the rest was, as we say, history. As a result, we have a violin concerto by Brahms and by Dvorak and by Schumann, and we don't have one by Liszt or by Wagner. So having Brahms end the program, I thought, was the only kind of right and proper way to do it.
For the program's conclusion, Daniel will be joined by pianist Wu Han, violist Paul Neubauer, and cellist David Finkel for Brahms' piano quartet in G minor, Opus 25, a work most famously known for its final movement, the Rondo alla Zingarese, or Gypsy Rondo.
Also to have the Opus 25, which has the famous Zingaresca movement, Brahms was very much influenced by Joachim's Hungarian background, his love for Csárdás, and even though he gathered much of the information of the gypsy music himself, a lot of it came by Joachim through the Hungarian dances and through the style of playing that Joachim was able to also imitate. So for me, it was a natural, really, to have that there.
Music at Menlo previously presented Brahms' Opus 25 Piano Quartet as part of our 2007 season. For more on this piece, please visit us online at www.musicatmenlo.org/multimedia/audio notes, where you can find the audio notes discussion on the Opus 25 Quartet from that season. You can also visit us online to hear more of my conversation with Daniel Hope about the violin playing of Josef Joachim. Again, that's online at www.musicatmenlo.org/multimedia/audio notes. Audio Notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following performers and organizations. Johannes Brahms' Variations on a Theme by Paganini and Bella Bartok's Dance Suite are performed by Alessio Bax and appear courtesy of the artist. George Enescu's Violin Sonata No. 3 is performed by Adelina Oprian and Justin Oprian and appears courtesy of Helios Records. Brahms' Opus 39 Waltzes, performed by Alphonse and Alois Kontarski, Brahms' Opus 76 Piano Pieces, performed by Tomas Vasari, Clara Schumann's Romance Opus 22 No. 1, Felix Mendelssohn's Auf den Flügeln des Gesanges, and Josef Joachim's Romance Opus 2 No. 1, performed by Daniel Hope and Sebastian Nauer, appear with kind permission of Deutsche Grammophon GmbH Hamburg, www.deutschegrammophon.com. Brahms' Opus 10 Ballades, performed by Stephen Huff, appear courtesy of Hyperion Records. Brahms's Violin Sonata No. 1 in G Major, Opus 78, is performed by Joseph Swenson and Jeffrey Kahane, and appears courtesy of Music at Menlo. Brahms's Piano Quartet in G Minor, Opus 25, performed by Gilbert Kalish, Ian Swenson, Paul Neubauer, and Colin Carr, and Antonin Dvorak's Piano Quartet in E-flat Major, Opus 87, performed by Gilbert Kalish, Georgia Flizanis, Geraldine Walter, and Colin Carr, appear courtesy of Music at Menlo Live. Brahms's Opus 114 Clarinet Trio and Max Bruch's Opus 83 pieces are performed by David Schifrin, David Finkel, and Wuhan. Brahms's Clarinet Sonata in F Minor, Opus 120 No. 1 is performed by David Schifrin and Carol Rosenberger, and appears courtesy of Delos Music. For more information, please visit www.delosmusic.com. Gabriel Fauré's Dolly Suite is performed by Duo Mento and appears courtesy of Eroica Records. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.